Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner, Village Pastor. I hope that you grabbed a red hymnal on your way in, which we'll need for our service tonight. Our Vespers service tonight will be led by Stephanie Carpenter, and we will begin our service with a song from the choir.
Thank you. is from 1 Peter chapter 4. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The same reading, paraphrased in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get honored. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh, yes. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Wonderful God, thank you for being here with us. Please guide my words this evening. Help them to make sense. Amen. Yes. What I have here is an outline and not a word for word. So there's a lot of room for the spirit. Monday night in the summertime lately has been theme Vespers evening, and our summer theme this summer, is the many-colored grace of God. You might have seen that floating around in various places. And it came from that reading from 1 Peter 4:10 that goes, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Now, if you speak Greek, raise your hand. Now, come on, Brave. I know some people do. Angela, yes, raise your hand. You can't lie to me. Who speaks Greek? Raise your hand. Thank you. Or read. Who can read Greek? Who can read geek? Do. Okay. Maybe it's the speaking part that was the tripping point. Read. Okay. Yes. I can't. But the people that roam through Holden tend to have studied a bit, and often many of them can. And we have a few Greek words floating around Holden. Koinonia, Greek for community. Yes, you do. Agape, Greek for
love.
Today in Bible study with Chris, I learned a new one. I'm going to say it wrong, but I'll try. Purazzo.
Bingo.
Thank you. Which is a word used to what Jesus was going through after he was baptized and he went into the wilderness to be tempted or examined or tested. Purazzo. And so often the Greek words that have been translated for us and we've heard and have become so familiar to us from our daily weekly attendance of church and daily study of our scriptures, when you go to the Greek, they have so much more meaning to them than we have translated into one little word. And that is what happened. That is where the many-colored grace of God came from. Because the word that translates as manifold grace of God, I learned from another person who at least reads Greek, is poikilos, or a version of poikilos, which, if you look into the broader meaning of that word, manifold is a good translation. It is an okay word to put in place of that Greek word. But if you study it a little more, in secular Greek, that word was used to describe so many other things, or a broader spectrum of stuff. It was used to describe the many-colored or iridescent quality of natural things like bird feathers, you know, when they have those many different colors, or fish scales, when they're iridescently reflecting a bunch of colors at one time. That is the word that was used. And also, it was also used to describe things like things that were cunningly made, or objects manufactured by humans, such as a richly embroidered robe or an elaborately embossed shield. And there is a person named William Barclay who wrote a book called New Testament Words that was given to me, and I happened to read it. He is no longer alive, but he was a minister in the Church of Scotland and a theologian and a professor of divinity and such. And I am going to read a quote from him out of his book on the word poikilos. To speak of the grace of God as poikilos means that there is no color in the human situation which the grace of God cannot match. It matters not whether a person is living in the gold of sunshine or joy or success, or in the somber black of sorrow and pain. No possible situation can arise in life which the grace of God cannot match and answer. The grace of God is a many-colored thing that can match and meet every possible situation in life. And that is where the summer theme was born. It's beautiful, and I like it, and I want to think about it all summer long. Maybe you don't, but I think it really is something that I think we can work with. Along with the summer theme summer theme art, and I wanted to lift up a few things that are in the sanctuary and that were created by our lovely and talented Lori Kirshner, who is currently a village artist. Looking up here, we have a fish, and many of you are aware that in early Christian history, the symbol of a fish was used to identify early Christians. And the fact that the word poikilos referred to that iridescence coloring on fish scales, the fish kind of jumped out at us as one of these options. And I liked what Lori said. This fish here is very see-through fish. And when you look through it, what do you see? Lots of colors on the ceiling. That was painted by Richard Kemmerer, who was wildly crazy about colors. And I think it's a great representation of God's diverse creation. Right here, this little wooden structure, which we discovered, is called a reredos. Everybody say that, reredos. It's kind of a fun word. Or we were referring to it as a triptych, but this thing has been evolving since Lent. It started out being blue, and it has evolved all through every liturgical season, and here it is, beautiful. And if you look close, there are many crosses on there and that have been turned into fish of many colors. And I encourage you to talk with Lori about the evolution of that. Our t-shirts, summer-themed t-shirts. We have, it looks like a little fishing line here, and a couple fish. And if you look close at those potentially iridescent scales, you will see the word poikilos, and you will also see the many-colored grace of God hidden within the fish as scales. We also have a t-shirt, I think Angela was sporting it, with the actual Greek. So you can wear a Greek t-shirt so you can pretend like me that you might read and speak Greek. So, all these visible colors, literal, bright colors. And we can look at the many colors in nature, and we can think, wow, this is God's creative masterpiece. We could also refer to our many shades of skin tone in this room, and we can think, wow, God's diverse masterpiece.
within this body of people present right now. But how very interesting to think about God's grace as multicolored. When you think about what grace looks like, what do you see? If you close your eyes and said, I'm going to think about what grace looks like, what comes to your mind? If you define grace, it's God's, often defined as God's unmerited favor that's been gifted to all. So what does unmerited favor look like? If we get colors from the full spectrum of light, what happens if you're a little science person, you understand that this red shirt is really the full spectrum of light shining on this red shirt and reflecting back red. So all the colors are shining onto this shirt, but only red is reflected. And that's how we got that color, and that's how we see it, how our eyes are able to see it. And I liked the idea of that. And what happens when the whole spectrum is reflected back? You get the color white. And when the whole spectrum is absorbed, you get black. So what if we took that little idea and we applied it to grace? What did Jesus teach us? Jesus taught us that God's grace in full spectrum is flowing onto us all the time, all the time. And we could talk about the dark places in our lives, places where we maybe don't want to go to, or that we have gone to, or that we're in right now, that are those dangerous places that Chris talked about in Bible study too, examples. Maybe the times when we have been out of work, maybe the times when we've lost loved ones, maybe times when we were really nasty to somebody and we feel bad about that. All those places that really, if you think of a color, they maybe aren't really bright and pretty. And if you look at our own Lord and Savior who went to the darkest of dark all the way to the cross and to death. If we look at those dark places and realize that God's grace is even going there, and that during the difficult times in our lives, that's when the full spectrum of God's grace is being absorbed, almost all of it, without any spared for reflecting. So yes, we can call those our dark times, because if that grace was represented as a color, it might be black, because it might be totally absorbed into our being, because we need it right at that moment. But then there are other times when that grace is landing upon us, the full spectrum of grace, and there's some that we can reflect out, that we're not absorbing everything, and we reflect some out. And that's where, like good stewards of the many-colored grace, we serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. And it's in that loving service that grace becomes visible. So when you think about what does grace look like, you can identify it by that loving service that we give towards each other. That's it. That's how it becomes visible in my mind right now, is through each other. So now I'll go on a little run of crazy thoughts. Sorry about that. I'm going to go fast. So the golden rule, the summary of the most important commandments Jesus said was to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And yourself as your neighbor for all you self-deprecating people. You have to love yourself before you love your neighbor, or able to love your neighbor. But so how do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? I think God's most favorite way to receive our love is when we love each other and serve one another in this love. And that is what makes God most giddy and happy. Another thought, the Trinity. All of God, summed up in the following words we hear so often, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Grace, love, communion, all three of those make God. And to commune is to be together. It doesn't say the grace of Jesus, love of God, and solitude of the Holy Spirit. Is solitude bad? No, I don't believe so. Sometimes we need to absorb all that grace, the full spectrum, and God understands. But I do think God is most giddy and complete when there is that communion, that together, that relationship between God and us and between one another. Another random thought. During Bible study, we also talked about the ELCA's mission statement. Marked by the cross of Christ, we are claimed, gathered, and sent for the sake of the world. This world that God loves so very much. Claimed, gathered, and sent. Given that grace, sharing it amongst each other, and being sent out to share it amongst more people. Holden's vision and mission is very similar. The vision of the love of God making new the church in the world by welcoming all into the wilderness of life and shining that love and grace-filled reflections among each other as we share time together in this place. And rhythms of worship and study and play and prayer. What is the reason? So we too can be sent together with others out into the world to reflect more of God's grace. So what's the big summary before you get too antsy? Here it is. God's grace is pouring out upon all of you right now and always, reaching every color that might be found in your life here and now. Feel it. Believe it. And watch for those beautiful reflections coming from God and through your fellow members sitting amongst you right now. And in these reflections, in loving service to one another, earth on earth as in heaven becomes closer and closer. And through that, our wonderful God is glorified. The many-colored grace of God, something to think about for this summer.
A poem by August Carpenter. Blazing colors, silky shades. Falling drops of silver slice through the ever-swirling white. Reflections flash glimpses of blazing orange. A timeless second. Silver drops splash into a puddle of blue ripples, forming waves which dampen the green banks. Green molds its growing branches to indescribable shapes and sizes, finding borders of soft black. I look up at it all and see grace. Prints in the ground left from trampling feet, images of people crossing to endless space. Varieties of colors bouncing off the miracles of life. Textures found everywhere. A mumbling of voices is found here. Years are stacked upon years as red bricks lay stacked in a path. Look close enough and see the dirt from hard at work shoes scraping layers of memories. Love reflects gold. I look through it all and see God.
To close, we are going to sing a hymn that's actually a gathering hymn, but we're going to use it as a sending hymn because the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Number 526. I really like it because in the title, which it says, God is here! Exclamation! I kind of like exclamations. And I would like to say that God's grace is here. Exclamation! If you are so moved, if you're a young person that really is tired of sitting and feeling like you want to move to the music, we have some spirit sticks right up here and this big space. And so I invite all of you, young or young at heart, that wish to move or dance, to come on in to this bright space while we sing our hymn. Hymn number 526.